Thank you. What a joy, what a blessing, what a privilege and honor it is to be able to come to your place to listen again. We're grateful for God's great mercy, His tenderness, His compassion, His infinite wisdom, and understanding all things. Nothing takes God by surprise. He is God, and beside Him there is none other. We, on the other hand, man has a great abundance of limitation. Man is the very best state, it's altogether vanity. We're depraved, we're wretched. That is our flesh. There's nothing good about it, nor in it. There's no good thing, Paul said, that dwelleth in me, that is in my flesh. He said, I want to do the right thing, but how to do that? He said, I find not. That's according to the flesh. The only way you can have an understanding of the will of God is to be born again and to know Him as your personal Savior, for Him to get personally acquainted with you, get alive in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I knew about Him far back as I can remember as a little bitty fellow. I said before, it's worth to be repeated again, wherever that you may be listening to this broadcast. I knew He was the Son of God. My mother introduced me to Him. I seen Jesus in my mama, and I knew He was the Son of the living God. I knew He died for my sin. I knew God raised Him from the dead. Those things I knew. I believed that. Not just mind and mouth, but I believed Him. And I knew that. My heart told me that He was who that I heard that He was. And I knew He was the Son of God. But I wasn't a Christian. Neither was I saved till He got real in me, alive in me, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I had to give myself my will over the will of God and bring my broke heart and my contrite spirit. And I called on Him for mercy and forgiveness, not with my mouth, but with my heart. And He knew exactly what I needed. He gave me a place of repentance. Prayer was caught up with me. I'm so glad that it did at 23 years old. He got alive in me, transformed me, quickened me. He made me alive. I was dead in trespass and sin, and gave me the free gift of eternal, everlasting life. I have it already. I'm not hoping to be saved. I've already been saved. I've already passed from death unto life. And God gave me love for the brethren, for the blessed book, and for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. I delight in the inward man. I don't have any confidence in my rotten, wretched flesh. My delight's in the law of God, and I want to meditate on His Word. I want to meditate on both day and night on His Word. I might be like a tree that planted by the waters. I might be able to bring forth fruit in due season. Now, beloved, if you're saved, you'll never be able to bear any good fruit. And if you don't sow, beloved, abundantly, if you don't do the best you can, then give it your very being. As a soldier of the cross or the follower of the Lamb, you must lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you, that you might run with patience the race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now what He started in you, He'll complete that. You don't have to worry about holding on and holding out. If we had to do that, we'd all go straight to hell. But we're kept by the power of God, saved by the grace of God, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible said, unto the day of redemption. Now, that's not to say that you can do as you please if you've really been saved and born again. You don't want to please the flesh. You want to do the will of God. If you don't have that want to, that desire in you to do the will of God, it's something wrong, beloved, with what you've got. You don't have salvation because the Bible said, thy word is very pure, and therefore thy servant loveth it. Your delight is in the inward man. You don't have any confidence in that rotten, wretched flesh that you're housed in. And, beloved, you want to do the will of God as a Christian because He put a want to in you. He put His divine nature in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you got saved. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's evident you're not saved. The Bible said any person without the Spirit of Christ is none of His. That's what you're born of, His divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it makes an automatic change. I remember that to the life that I lived before I got saved, and nobody had to tell me that was all wrong. I already knew that. I had a God-given conscience, but when I got saved, I didn't have to quit it. It quit me. My desire to do all those things in former lifetime, beloved, before I was converted, smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling, doing all the things that brought pleasure to the flesh. I did not partake of those kind of things after I got saved. I smoked for a little while, about to maybe a few weeks. I don't remember, but God saved me with my cigarettes because I brought my broke heart. And then God forgave me of all my sins. And beloved, all of them departed from me. But I had that bad habit. And I never drank another drop of booze. And I got me a drink out of well-being water when I got saved. But my cigarette smoking lingered for a few weeks. And I knew it was wrong. Nobody had to tell me that. But I was addicted to them. But I asked God to help me, have mercy upon me, and help me with these cigarettes. I laid them down. And I asked God to help me. And He killed the desire in me. me. And beloved, all these years, over 47 years, I've not desired to smoke any type more tobacco, nor dip, nor chew, nor do any of those kind of things. Beloved, those things are harmful to your health. They've got their bad on you, and they're going to eventually show up on you, on your health. God help you not to abuse your body. Your body is a Christian, the temple of the Holy Ghost, where God dwells in you if you've been born again. And certainly, no Christian ought to go around smoking and chewing tobacco and dipping that stuff, skull, whatever that stuff is that they partake of. You've got no business doing those kind of things. Those things are damaging to your health. They're damaging to your testimony. And a Christian ought to walk godly, sober, and righteously in the present world, looking forward to the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that can't unsave you. Nothing can separate you. That's what Paul said. He named everything that you could think of under the headings of those words that he used, beloved, will cover everything that there is or has been or ever will be. He said, and nothing shall ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you will and can, if you're not careful, cause somebody else to be eternally separated from this great salvation that God gave you without price and without money, when you got you a drink out of a well of living water, whereby you never thirst again. You better cleanse yourself. You better shape up, straighten up, love him. Because judgment's going to begin at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Judgment, listen to him, is coming. All of us are going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. That is, born again believers. If we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, from the time we got saved to the time we get out of here, we're going to answer him. His fiery eyes are going to piss down to the depth of our soul. It's going to divide asunder soul and spirit. Join in man, give the sermon of every secret intent and thought of the heart. He makes manifest all things, but they're going to come to light. Those things that were done in the darkness are going to be brought to the light at the judgment seat. God help you to straighten up, shape up, get things under the blood, get out of it, repent, get over it, get past it, and march on and press on. You've got loved ones, you've got neighbors, you've got relatives. You got folk you work with, you come in contact with, the fields are white and ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. God help you to realize if there's not many people really laboring in the Lord, most laborers, beloved, are fleshly laborers. First of all, there's not many people that are saved. Most folk that proclaim to be a Christian, they really don't know what it means to be a Christian. They think because it believe he's the Son of God, that's mind and mouth, beloved, in their minds, and then of course they believe he is the Son of God. But they don't know him. They've not believed in heart. They've not received him as their personal Savior. They've not believed on him, beloved. That is, received him as a personal Savior. They've never had a personal experience in grace, and they're just a poor, pitiful, lost church member, beloved. A lot of folk got good intention. They're sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. They don't have a real preacher in the pulpit. They got a hireling. They got a whooping sheep clothing. They got a blind leader of the blind, beloved. He's an educated idiot, if you excuse my expression. If you don't excuse it, that's all right. They're educated idiots. That's all they are, beloved. They have a head knowledge and a lip service, beloved. And they can quote Scripture. Satan quotes Scripture. And they're ministers of Satan. They're ministers of Satan, beloved, and not a minister of God. And the woods are full of the church of pews, beloved, and the pulpits are full of these, the people that are phonies. They're not real. And, of course, the blind cannot lead the blind. They're all going to fall in a ditch. And God have mercy. We're living in perilous times, dangerous times, the Bible said, when men are lovers of their own selves. They're proud, they're boastful. Blasphemers, children disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truth breakers, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. God, have mercy, we're in an adulterous generation. We're in perilous times, and it's going to get worse. And you just mark it down, beloved. If you're keeping record, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. God said that it would. He said in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving one another. They themselves also are deceived. Men of corrupt minds, reprobated minds, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These people, let me tell you something. They've infiltrated the pulpit, beloved. They've taken over the pulpits, and then people love it so because they tickle their ears. They just tell them what they want to hear, beloved. And that's another scripture said that they'd have ministers this were fairy tales. They made the word of God a fable. It's not real to them, beloved. And ear tickers, that's all have an itch in ears, beloved. And they turn from the truth, be turned unto fables or fairy tales. They made the word of God a fairy tale. It's like a story fairy tale out of a storybook, beloved. It's not real to them. It's just a gimmick. It's a way they can seduce and entice and steal and rob from the people. They always preach about most of them, not all of them. The churches in there, of course, they got their fairy tale sermons. They got a little funny to start off with, to humor the people, to make them laugh and feel good, and then they tell them their little story, mix a little word of God with that, and it, of course, has no effect whatsoever. Only thing it does is work on the mind, beloved. It won't get down to the soul. That'll take the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Nothing, beloved, is good whatsoever so far as anything is concerned, and especially the word of God. If the Lord Jesus don't build the house, you labor in vain. If the Lord don't keep the city, the watchman wake it, but in vain. All vain labor, beloved, in the flesh. The flesh will profit you nothing. It's the Spirit that quickens and makes alive. And these people don't have the Spirit of a living God in them. They're false, beloved, preachers and teachers. And that they're wolves in sheep clothing. They're dumb dogs that can't bark. But they can't warn anybody because they themselves are blinded by the god of this world, and they transform themselves, beloved, as a minister of righteousness. They're not a thing in the world but a minister of Satan. And he's got the majority of the so-called ministers in the pulpit, beloved. They outnumber the ministers nowadays that are real, probably to 10,000 to 1. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care whether you do or not, beloved. It's far maybe even worse than that. God have mercy. You can't hardly find anybody anywhere anymore that, beloved, that's real, that's sincere, that's been called of God. And it's pitiful. It's pathetic. It grieves my heart. I would to God it weren't so, but it is so, beloved. And the Bible said that it would be like that in the last day. We're surely living in the last day. We're living in perilous times, dangerous times, and people, beloved, I'm telling you, God have mercy, are going for anything and everything to appease their rotten flesh. They don't want nobody telling them how to live because they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, their children disobedient to their parents, and they're unholy, unthankful, truth breakers, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure. God have mercy more than lovers of God. We're living in perilous times, dangerous times, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse in these last days of apostasy in which we live. So if you're not saved, I hope you will be. God knows I do. Hope everybody gets saved. I'm not opposed to people getting saved. I'm all for it. 100%, beloved. I'm for everybody that can and will. I hope they do get saved. I don't want nobody to go to hell, beloved, but people, of course, hell being enlarged every day and people rejecting the Word of God. The only way they can get saved is by hearing the Word of God. The only way they can hear the Word of God is by a preacher whom God saved and forgave and, beloved, and called and sent. You can't preach, beloved, except you be called. You can't preach, beloved, and they can't hear without a preacher, and he cannot preach except he be sent. Salvation is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now see, my time just about gone. Write to us, pray for us. God bless you. It's our prayer in his name. Amen.